lot of the Native people were smart with their own ways, but at that time when they get smart, they listen to people, and then that's passed on to them. They don't have a written guide to say, oh, this is the way you do certain things. There's no guide. That's how come they call that traditional knowledge. You incorporate what you learn by doing, by being there, and by understanding. You don't, I said, well, to be able to do certain things, this is the way you do it. There's nothing in there. And some time has only passed by mouth. There's nothing to say, well, you did this because it's written down here. There's no written. And that's traditional knowledge. And it's just like a wisdom. People know. And how they get that intelligence is beyond me. Even some of the greater chief right here in Doyon country, in Doyon region, there's a chief that said that when I die, I want to be buried with that dirt. What he means by that is that part of the land, language, and heritage and culture, those go together to make who you are. So he said, that's part of me. That's how come I want to be buried with it. You see what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I used to thought that it did make sense, you know. And without one, I think right now, I see what's happening. We're losing a lot of younger people. We're losing a lot of elderly people. And we don't know what's happening. I think right now, we have to make our younger people understand the culture, the language, and even the heritage. Where you came from. What your parents believe in back there. But I think if you miss any one of them, I don't think you can't miss any one of them. They all have to be together to make one, and that's what's happening. I look at it and say, how come these people are committing suicide? Young people, what's going on? And I think that they don't know their identity. They don't know who they come from or where they are, or even language. They don't speak it. They're lost, you know? So that's why those three things that I said is very, very important. It's we're going back to that, but it's going to take a long time because we already lost it. This is right here. Mm-hmm. Read this right there, that one right there.
Language is the expression of our culture and our land. I'm sorry, I have a hard time with your handwriting. What is this?
We cannot have one without the other. We cannot describe our culture and our land if we didn't have language. Mm-hmm. That's what I keep saying to everybody, you know? And we have to, one way or another, the elders even say that, tie back to that place. Not to say that we belong to the land, but that's probably what it is. We have to tie ourselves back to that land. Mm-hmm. Or we have to tie ourselves back to language. And be able to say, I know where I come from. I know who my parents, my grandma, my uncles are, you know. And that's what is going to make us one, hopefully, better person, you know. Because there's a lot of people that are lost without knowing who who the relations are and where they came from. And that's part of our biggest mix-up. I think that we need all that stuff to be able to say, I am an Athabascan, I am a Han. And that's what I always say. I hope I'm right. It makes sense to me.
Yeah, I always think that it would be really powerful to be, you know, have so deep ties to a land that I could say that my ancestor lived here in medieval times when animals and men could talk to each other. That would be like something.
You can adapt back to that. Adaption is one of it too, you know. And I always say that, you know, I say, you know, that moose meat I got, it's good. You know why? I said, these hands cleaned it. You know, I got it, I clean it, I put it up, and I preserve it. You see what I mean? That's what I'm trying to say. And sometime I think that we have to realize that, you know, along that way, we're going to lose some of it. And that's what happened. We lost a lot of our language. Even, I don't want to say this, but the government wants you to, what they call, divide and conquer. Once you divide it up, I go to meetings and I see how many people is opposition of each other in this case.
Yeah. Do you mean like official, like say, subsistence board meetings, or what kind of meetings you mean?
Well, for example, if Alaska Natives want to, we can put anybody in the public federal offices we want. We can be a big lawmakers because we have more people. We could do it. We could put anybody in we want to be our legislature. But we're at odds with one bunch, and then over here we're all over the state where one tribe is at odds with another. We don't stick together. We're all...
How about in the 70s when the land claims were...
Same thing, yeah. There were a lot of people that were for it and a lot of people that were against it because nobody understood the law.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Do you mean
it
like...
It was actually shoved down their throat.
Oh, the corporations.
Corporations, and they didn't know. People didn't understand that. That's how come there was so many, many problems with land just for the application of land. That was one of the biggest deals that I had trouble with. And that's 30-some years ago, and it's still going on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's 29 years ago, and it hasn't gotten... Some people are dead already that haven't got their land. They died. They got tired of waiting for their land, and they died too, you know, and that's what happened.
Sure.
Because of all the regulations and all the problems that they have had. So everybody didn't understand how to file a land claim. And the law everybody just tell them, well, you're over the age and you got to be certain years old and you could have the 160 acres. But they didn't tell us how to do it and what you got to do, and that's what happened.
Do lots of people in Eagle Village have these?
Well,
there's
a lot of native allotments, but we went through those lands had been investigated. All those individual native allotments were investigated and were field examined by the federal officials 3 or 4 times. You shouldn't have to go there. Go one time and that's it. But they didn't want to give up that land. So they make it worse, and they try not to give you the land.
Yeah. but well, how do you feel about the 70s? Like, I guess it was a big raise of consciousness all over the world.
Well,
Native people were like talking about these things. And
it woke up a lot of people with new regulations coming in. But, you know, And it also said that you have to do certain things this way. Why do we have to do it that way? We did it the other way. We got along pretty good. You see what I mean? That's what I woke up. But what really happened is that people didn't understand. People didn't care. People didn't want to go against the government because they're powerful anyway, you know. And a lot of those Native allotment, thousands and thousands and thousands of them that I help people get, they have any problems. I was in charge of the land department for TCC, Tacoma Chiefs Conference, and I went out and I did this whole this thing, and then if we had to go to court, I prepare those people for court, and we prevailed on a lot of cases. And I remember I took Charlie James down and took, 85 years old. He was having trouble with his Native allotment. The state says, that was an old campground, state campground. He can't have it. We can't give it to him. I went down and did a field investigation, talked to those people, got all the witness and all that. And he was 85. He died about 90-something years old. But you know what? We fought, and he knew when he died, he had a title to his land. And that's what I did. I helped a lot of people with their land problems. I amended descriptions. I really did a lot of use and occupancy. I went out on the land, and I took them out there. This is where your land is. I drew up the survey instructions for them. But the more power was that people didn't understand. Nobody had taught them all the same. And I had to learn all that too, but that's part of Tending the Chief's job, is to help these people get that land. And I was a part of the whole thing because I helped implement the Native Allotment Act of 1971. And sometimes it's just like there's no ending, but you know, we did a pretty darn good. Yeah, we took a lot of people. A lot of people took us to court, but we prevailed.
Wow, that must have been an interesting time. Big business, yeah.
Yeah.
So, what do you think about the preserve here?
A preserve, like any national parks or federal withdrawal, is good because the preserve is a good intention. They preserve animals, they preserve certain things, they preserve historical parts, they preserve old stuff. This is good, but you have to also remember that you know, sometimes you get too much power and you use it the wrong way. And that's the thing I don't like. I worked for the National Parks for a couple of years down there at the station during the summer. But I can gladly say that you over-exceed your authority is no good. People are very, very mad right now as what happened this summer. People don't want to talk about it.
Yeah.
But the more people talk about it and the more go to court and testify, that's the only way we can change that law. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go to court. I may even go over and voluntarily be in court, just testify, because I think that they have to know the beginning, how we did it a long time ago, to right now, to say, this is what we did a long time ago. And then build it right up to here, how we do it now. You know, and one of the things is that we all have to teach each other. We're not doing that. People are mad because these regulations, if they're valid, we have to live with it. But if it's no good, and it's not done right, and it's not a law, then, you know, somebody's going to have to pay. You know, you can't do those things. you can't over exceed your powers, authority. You can't, because it's no good, because all I can say is it took the parks 30 years to actually start talking to some of these people. And then you got this coming up like that. They're back then.
Yep. Back to the old issues. Yeah. Do you mean only that what happened to the person downriver with both tags?
No, I don't know about that, but I just read one in the paper.
Yeah.
It's going to go to court and should be pretty soon, so everything will come out, you know. I don't want to say, well, this what happened, I wasn't there. But just by what was there, you know, how it came out in the paper, you know, I don't want to say, well, this is wrong. But I know that there's authorities, and that's probably what's going to come out in court.
So have Eagle people have had troubles with?
Well, there's up and down, yes and no. But, you know, there are certain things. But I never had no problem with them. But I knew that law was coming up. They stated that last year. And I was against it because I didn't have, as far as I remember, way back when I was hunting, fishing, you don't have to go through anything. We do it for putting fish or meat on the table. You know, there's nothing else.
Yeah.
The what happened, maybe you might lock it all up, I don't know. Yeah, it's pretty hard.
So would you have some good advice for park management? What could they do?
Don't get me wrong now, you know, the Park Service, I work for them, I like the Park Service, but I think that what really needs to be done is that they've been doing a good job with the people, but I'm only afraid that they sit back again by this. So I think that the only thing is that you know there's this thing has got to play itself out some way and see what happens. But you know, there's still going to be a lot of people that's going to make it pretty bad. I mean, it's going to be a relationship. You got to build a relationship back up in order for the parks to be efficient and, you know, with people. And that's one of the things they're going to have a hard time with, because people are going to suspect that, you know, what happened was shouldn't happen. But still, too, you know, it's a law, and it's a federal law, and whether the people like it or not, they have a reason to be here. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because there's people don't understand it. It's a law that's actually been passed in Congress, and only Congress can change it.
Hmm.
I can't change it. Congress, the act of Congress will change it because it's a congressional act. Mm-hmm. People say, well, they could do this, that. It goes back to Congress. But you can go there and do your thing by testifying and say, this is what I think, this is what may work. Opinions, different opinions may help, you know. And because of the nature of it, you know, the judge, I don't even know, the judge may rule in favor of the subsistence users, or he might follow the law and say, this is the law, boom.
Anything could happen.
Yeah.
How about thinking about this project that we are working on? What do you think would be like the really important things that should be told about Han? Well, about history of Han people and history of Eagle, and what would be like the most important things?
I think one of the things is that just like what you and I describe right now is the changing times, how they did it at one time. You see, at one time, the Eagle Village Council was all traditional. They don't have to keep records. They don't have to do anything. But now, it is time that they have to do it, because you've got public funds and you've got a lot of other things you have to keep track of. So the difference in that is that your accountability has got to be better. But also, in different times, we have to be scrutinized. You just can't go and say, well, I can do this and it's okay. Somebody's got to scrutinize you, and that's what's going to happen. It's not to say we're trying to catch you doing anything, both communities. Is that when they scrutinize you, is that to see if everything is done right? That's all it is. It's not trying to catch anybody. Because when you try to catch somebody, you're after somebody. Yeah. But I think that we have to teach them from back in the early days how it was during that time and how I grew up and then into right today. What are the big differences? Regulations. Some of these regulations are so hard to understand that sometimes you can't do it. It's hard to understand. Not to say it's got to be much more simpler, but you got to have people to explain them thoroughly. And that's how come we got a lot of things going on, especially all the land laws. One act tells you you could do that, another act can tell you you could do the other way. Mm-hmm. People are getting mixed up. We have to have a better education, and that me by saying that I see how they did it back in about 50 years compared to today, I understand, because time has changed and we are in a different, 21st century, So we have to change with it. But that may be hard to sometimes explain. Why do you have to work, go differently? Well, time is changing. There's people that would love to see it always, but you're not going to see it anymore. I heard it say that, we could do it like when they used to do this and that. Those are over. We have to keep in time with what goes on right now. And unfortunately, that television is right upon us. And right now, you turn it on and you can see everything that's going on right now. You know that affects our life one way or the other. Mm-hmm. So I think that we need to but I also think is that we go from the where the Native people came from into what they're doing all through the hard times and the good times and the bad times, and today what is happening. Well, unfortunately, a lot of Native tribes are not doing good, because it's, for some way or another, it's not doing good. A lot of Native tribes across my Doyon region, it's not doing good. We need some kind of infrastructure to make it happen, but there's nothing. We always say, we got the resources, but there's nothing. We have a good, in Eagle, we have a good forest, like timber, forest product. But it costs too much to get it out to the market. That's a problem. We got to be able to say, I got this resource up here, and I'm capitalized on it, but you got to make it all pay and feasible. And that's what we don't have. And that's one of the things I see. We need to do certain things in order. But Eagle, as a whole, we're at the end of the road. I don't think anything's going to happen here. You need some kind of a big production or something to make changes. And it's not going to happen. We're one of the villages that's pretty remote. Sure, you got a highway coming in winter, summertime, but still, you know, you got to be fluid within the way that you are dependent upon your own self. I was talking to some people down in Nevada one time. There's some places in Nevada, communities, that are not making it, but they got a silver mine about 25 miles away. If it wasn't for a silver mine, they would be gone. So I think that's what one of the things I see is we need some kind of a production and some kind of a manufacturing in order for us to survive. How we can do it is that we got to talk about the old ways within this stuff and then compare it to what we could do right now or what's going on, the changes. I think we need to go elaborate on the changes. You know, we can no longer just jump in the boat and say, I'm going down river, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. There's so much changes now that people all the time say, I'm afraid of it. I don't think you have to be afraid of it. Just make sure you understand it and then, you know, go from there. Because sometimes if changes do come as big, maybe too fast, it could harm you too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I think that we should elaborate lots on the language and culture, you know. I got a cramp.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess those things would help in dealing
yeah.
with the change.
You know, people, we have people that really respect us and that really okay with us. And then there are people that's not going to be, but, you know, we as people has got to survive too. And there's a lot of problems too, you know. The city has a lot of problems. But I'm not going to say that we can do it on our own. We need a lot of support and a lot of other different things. And we need close working relationships. Sometimes we don't have that. But it's all is that everybody has got to pitch in and do their part. This one should, after I read this thing, we should be able to say, I know about this thing. That's what we're going to try to do, you know. Somebody coming in new said, okay, this is a Han Indian location. And then the people came in here in 1860, 1850. You know, that's the way they got to know. What did they do? Trapping, hunting, fishing. Some work. Well, the 1930s is when the steamboat were running. But prior to that, probably with a lot of dog teams and hunting, like say dog teams and even horses, you know. Yeah. But I think that we should also name some of the important people that made this, you know.
What would be the important people?
Well, just some of the old timers, you know, just elaborate on some of them, because I don't want to say just the city and the village, but, you know, the village has pretty good people that kind of led their way, you know, and the city, same thing, you know, some of those guys. I didn't want to touch up on some of them because I didn't go to the relatives and say, could I write about them, you know, and I didn't want to make them think that I'm doing that to make me, you know, it's not that, yeah. Well, I got to do something on this, too, to make it look more interesting, you know. But I don't know what we need. What do you think?
Well, I still feel... can I close the tape?
Yeah.
Okay.